Good morning. Good morning, and today's, in the spirit of today, I want to thank everyone for coming, and to thank the Shiva Rav Lapiansky for coming up. He's always so gracious about coming and sharing his time and his wealth of wisdom with us. I want to appreciate it. I want to thank him publicly on a public and personal level. Today you'll notice there's something different on the tables that that's been different than for now probably about a year and a half, which is Baruch Hashem, is the paraphernalia about building the Kollel is no longer in the middle of the table. Not that it's fully paid for yet, but nonetheless, it's not there. Instead, it's been replaced with Baruch Hashem and Maimon Chanukah Sabayis, and the number of the tables you'll see on the door. Baruch Hashem, the Rebbein Shalom has been so kind to us, and our Chanukah Sabayis for our new Beis Medrash will take place on Mitzvah Hashem Sunday, Mincha 1 p.m., with a beautiful program to follow. And please, we invite everyone to please come and share with our Simcha, as we try and continue to elevate Taira in and with the community. Again, Shkayach Rabbi Lapiansky for coming.
Can I do it without the mic? It's just easier for me. I hope if the Olam can hear me, I would like to try to do without the mic. It's just more comfortable for me. First of all, Yisra Koyach, I always feel at home here for many reasons. A lot of people that I know over the years, from many different places. So we don't want to say how long I go back, but there's some RJJ Chaverim here. And then Yisra Torah people, Silver Spring people, and over the years. So it's very special to actually to be with the Olam. And Reb Chaim especially, who's built up this sense of tzibur, of people, osake, in Torah when they can, it's a very special feeling. I was expecting when he'd speak about the Ruach of today, he would speak about the giving more than the thanks. But I guess he started with the thanks, and then he pasach the thanks, and then spoke about what's left to give. So I guess that's the mahalach. About the topic. So I was once, we do legal holidays. The Baruch Hashem in Washington, we get benched with a lot of legal holidays. So every month in Gedanishtik, your tax paid workers are in Beis Medrash learning, so you're supporting a koil with your tax dollars. And it was a December 25th holiday learning. And I wanted to speak about Hilchos Avodah Zarah a little bit and being Nenef Avodah Zarah and so on. So the topic was, besides Chinese and movies, what can you do on December 25th? And somebody called up the yeshiva and asked, when they're serving the Chinese and what movie is on? It's a true story. And the person took it seriously, took it face. So somebody told me 3 days ago in yeshiva, he says, Rebbe, I heard you're speaking about how to make sushi for Shabbos. And I scratched my head. I couldn't even remember what he was talking about. So Al Kaponim, if you came Al Daita De Hoche to Mekach Tos, you can get your money back from Reb Chaim and look for much better Chinese or something. I want to speak about an inyan that the truth is, it's like in Halacha you have inyanim that permeate the Lamaisa disproportionately to the amount of Halacha that it takes up. One of those in the Funan, there's a Hashoah in Chosh Mishpat, is an incredible chelik of prayer Chosh Mishpat, and very little halacha really, very little sugya. Minhagim, most of the world's fights and shailas range around minhagim. The sugyas are not clear, very little mikairis and shoshim really, and the worst part is there are six or seven concepts that are very confused. And people mix them up. There's a Yerushalmi, everybody runs around quoting about Minig Bin Fat La'alacha. That seems to be most applied Yerushalmi that I think in all of Yerushalmi that is Minig Vatal Halacha. I'd like to explain, basically I'm going to give an overview of the basic concepts involved, where they come from. It's almost impossible to give clear halakha directives. First of all, it shouldn't be done in this oifen. But also, a lot of the practical halacha are culled from tshuva svarim. There isn't much in the basic sugyas and rishonim that deal with it. There is an extraordinary amount of tshuvas written on it, because all the fights and all the minhagim and all the communities, this was a constant issue. So that's one reason. The posek who did the most to put together, at least in a rudimentary way, was the Pri Chodesh. He has in back of one of the simonim in Tafsar Kvav in Arachayim, he has a basic compendium of the halachis. So it gives a certain structure to it with a lot of tshuvas. It's his psakim, so it's not absolute in that sense, but it's at least it gives him halach. Magen Avraham in Tav Tzadik Gimel gives another part of the picture a little bit, and there are basic just a yam of tshuvas. There is a contemporary sefer written by an Israeli Baal Tshuva, former Baal Tshuva, is a mentor, is a Talmud Chacham named Talim Rossi, is the sefer. The author is Tal Duar, and like all these Sfarim, they're very good, I would say, as a mafteach. They sort of bring down bottom lines with yams and mikoros, and that's the big picture. So let's, if you take a look, for those who got the handout, I'm gonna go through a few basic concepts, where they apply, how they apply. I am lehedya oversimplifying. There's no way it's possible to get a big picture without simplifying it. And I'm interested more in the big picture and what the different elements are in the gear. So first of all, defining the word minhag is in itself extremely difficult and part of the problem. I will use a definition that will fit, I think, almost everything. The word minhag we will call a halachic practice, as opposed to a halacha in the mikoros and a psak that's written. Halacha, minhag, is as is done. This is a very broad definition, and it will include many of the sub-elements that we're talking about. The first area where we find that there is significance to how something is done is in the iser of lotis godedu. And if you'll take a look, it's one of the two premier sugyas on it. It's the second sugya. It's the one in Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel. So it's the page before the end. It's two sides, two amudim in Yevamos. I'm not going to go through it, but I want to talk about it. The issur lotis godedu in the Torah is that you are not allowed to tear out hair and cut yourself up for a mace. That's the halacha. Chazal darshened from it, either an asmachta or a halacha, that you can't make agudus agudus. And that's Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara on base, which is on the front side over here. And the Gemara speaks about two inyanim. The Gemara speaks about the Megillah being read at different days. The Gemara speaks about the Mokum Shenagu Lassus Molochar of Pesach. Some places did Erev Pesach, some didn't Erev Pesach. And the Gemara speaks about the big machlokas in halacha of Beisham and Beis Hillel about certain cases of Yibum, whether you had to make Yibum or you were not allowed to make Yibum. And the Gemara says it can't be that in one place there would be two ways of doing halacha lemaisa. Now, let's understand this a little bit. What is the halacha? You have here three cases that the Gemara gives. So let's take the third case. You have machloka, shamay, and hillel. So how does it work in psak? Now, the obvious answer is, we're talking after Sanhedrin is batel, there is no more psak, and therefore each bezdin has a right to do as it sees fit. So now the Gemara tells us, halachically, we do not have a resolution. And therefore, any Bezdin can paskin, or any Rav, halacha, can paskin as he sees appropriate, lefi rayas and shas and so on. That's the norm. There is no way to force everybody to adhere to one standard. But the halacha is, in one place, you cannot have two different minhagim. The word minhag in this case means practical application of halacha. Beis Shammai is still not arguing a minhag. They're arguing in an esed eraisa and a chi of karis. We're not talking about a fancy minhag here. We're talking about halacha. The nohagu in this case means that we cannot have two practices that seem to be contradictory. That is the yisod of lotus goridu. Is it a doraisa? Is it a rabbanan? Not even so clear. It's a pasik. The Rambam, it's fascinating the way the Rambam brings this halacha. The Rambam does not find any case in Shas, a practical case to apply it. And therefore, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, lotus goridu, for the primary iser of cutting yourself up for a mace. And then the Rambam says, nichlal, in this iser, is that there can't be two batidinim in one city acting in different ways halachically. It's very hard. I can't imagine any real essential branching of that halacha from it. In other words, in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, of cutting yourself up for a mace, there's no way I could imagine this is included. And it's a drasha, like all drashas, and the Rambam couldn't find any other place to put it in except here. It means he couldn't find any practical application for it except for here. Fascinating nekuda. Unclear in the Rambam, it doesn't seem as if any one particular person has that obligation. It's a din on batidinim. There should not be two batidinim at two communities being nohag in different ways halacha lemaisa. So, who exactly is the chiyuv on? But is it possible that if I come and I act differently than the town, let's say I would act like Beis Shammai in the place of Beis Hillel personally, would that also go to lotus goridu? The Rambam, I don't know if that would be like that. The Shulchan Aruch brings lotus goridu in one place, and that is about two minhagim for Sfiras HaOmer. And he says you shouldn't have two minhagim, says it because of lotus goridu. There doesn't seem to be any other cases. Shulchan Aruch is a little bit less, meduyek, because tachlis, at the end of the day, Shulchan Aruch is dealing only with real practical cases. The Rambam was trying to shtolavek the halacha. Is interesting that there are no other cases. But the bottom line is, lotus goridu is an iser for two communities to act in distinct halachic manners. We're talking about halachic issues, basically. Even sfir soma, which days are you nohig? And you can't act in one place. The devil is in the details. What's called one place? Because the Gemara says that two batidinim in a irachas is okay. So that means if you have two separate communal structures, you have two shuls, two communities, there would not be lotus goridu. But in one shul, in one place, there would be lotus goridu. So the first halacha that we're dealing with is an iser for two communities, for two groups in one community, to paskin, to act differently, halacha maisa. You can, Beis Medrash, you can paskin what you want like. There has to be one, they have to be oimed ledin and try to figure out a halacha that's for everybody. As we said before, the devil's in the details. What exactly goes into lotus goridu? Is it only isurim? Is it things in the nature of just nice minhagim? What about nuscha tefillah? Davening Ashkenaz and Sfarad together. Is that called minhag in the sense that we're talking about? Or is it just isav heta like these cases? There's much ink has been written, stolen. Those are halacha lemaisa I'm going to, but I just want to give the sense of it. It is appropriate that Any communal structure has one set of halachas that they go with, and that's most appropriate. What is called a one community? It used to be in a shtetl with 35 families and a rav. That was a community that was quite clear. What do you do in a place where you have Lir and Hara, tens and tens of shuls? What do you do if a shul has this minion, this minion, that minion, the other minion? All of those are chuvas from. There's matnomikoros for it. But it's a very important halacha, and it's a basis that there should be. In other words, in the Ruach HaDvarim, there should be one communal and practice as regards basic halachas. That is what it's going to do. There are another type of example where this issue comes up. You have a community that's settled, and then new people come in. Can they form their own community? Can they reverse the community? In Yerushalayim, this was an issue. Yerushalayim had its old yishuv, its old minhagim, and everything like that. Isurim, charam, the whole works. And then a flood of people came in. Do they have to? Do they not have to? Those are all shailas dealt with. But like the skreda do is basically on the community more than the individual. Two, it's something which is, as long as each communal structure is independent, it does not affect the other one. That's shtei batidinim. And what exactly are we talking about? Which details are nageya? There's a yam of truth from that. That is the first point that's nageya. There is now a second area, moving away from a community and dealing with an individual. Now we're going to people who have practices, that halachic practices. There are three, four types of halachic practices that are significant in this context. One is, you went through the halacha and you decided to paskin this way or that way. We're talking about things that are independent of community. It's a private halachic shayla, it's not a type of thing you do publicly. And you paskin like, now you redid the sugya, and you think the halacha is not like that. One. Two, you made a mistake. You saw your neighbor doing something, and you figured this is the way you're supposed to do it, and you've been doing it for that 25 years, and then you learned the halacha, and you realized you didn't know, you made a mistake. You didn't know what you were seeing. Three, you knew what you're supposed to do, but you felt that you need to keep a certain getter to stay away from it. Shabbos comes in at with Shkia's 4:30, let's say, and you decided you've cut it too close too many times, a half hour before Shkia, absolutely you don't do malacha. That's a third type. A fourth type is a minhag chasidus. You decide every single week, without fail, you're going to have a guest over for Shabbos. So we have four situations, and there's some variations on them, that you are doing something, a halachic practice that you're practicing and doing, and then you want to change. What's the halach in this? Well, the question is, what's the problem? Before we get to the solution, what's the problem? So there's a famous side remark. The Rambam says, "Pir Shem Mishnayis," that they were against, that they were, that Chazal were Meshabeach Hizkiyo, that he was going to Sefer Refuas, secreted away the Sefer Refuas. So Rashi says, because like, Bitochen, Pirishma doesn't like it, and he says, because this Sefer had all the Refuas, but before you get to Refuas, you describe the disease and how to get it. So professional murderers would read up on how to give people the diseases until, you know, by the time they got their food, it was too late. So before you deal with a solution, what is the problem? What's the problem here? So it is a small Gemara, and let's see it inside, and it's on the second page on the second side. This is sugya in Pesachim. B'nei Baishin. B'nei Baishin actually is not clear whether this was a family. It's on the second, on the bottom, if you'll see, The second page, second side, Nun Amid Beis on the bottom. B'nei Baishin, Tzigmar and Psachim. Nagu Dolehavi Azlin Mitzur Litzidon B'mala Shapsim. The minig was that they would not travel from Tzur to Sidon, Tari to B'mala Shapsim. Also B'naihu, the children came to Yechna. Amalo, Avason Efshaluhu, Ananlai Efshalu. Our parents could be Oymid in that Gzeira. We can't. So he says, Amalam for Kibbul of Asecham Alechem, Shnema Shmad Nusavich Shemecha. They were Mekabalit, and we can't be Mevatlet. Then the Gemara says, B'nei Chuzoi, Nogd Mafshi Chale Me'aruza. They used to be mafresh challah from rice. There is no halach to mafresh challah from rice. Also, Amla Reb Yosef, Amalui said, Nichlozar ba'paihu. Let someone come and eat, someone who's not a kohen, eat that challah, that will make it very clear that they're doing wrong. Eisra Abaye, Dvar Mutar Achem, Norg Ma'isra, next page, Yato Asher Latir Mifnehem, Yukim Ma'defnehem. And then he goes on to that it's only by kosar and so on. So the Gemara here tells us that once you have a minig, A, if you are not like that, and if your parents were not like that, you can't be mevatet. Why not? So the Rishonim understand this to be because of neder. In other words, when a person does a practice enough times, we assume it's as if he said, I'm going to do it. So on this Gemara, this Gemara of Yetar Shoyla Hatir, there's a Lashon, is a little more clear in the Nedarim. Over there it says, there is Bal Yachal Rabbanan, there are Nedarim that are Rabbanan. For instance, Yetar Shoyla Hatir Lefnehem. So the Rishonim understand there's two issues. You can't be Matir, and you can't be Matir Lefnehem. So on this point, we have a pillar of a halacha that's relevant to us an incredible amount of times. When a person does a practice that is a positive practice, a halachically positive practice, it is as if he was mekablet and a neder on himself. It's brought down halacha, the Torah Shacharach, I printed up, it's the whole Shacharach on this is Yeredeya Reish Yudala, the last page. That's two sefim over there. And that's it. That is the whole halacha of the last page is the Shavaruch of this inyan. But it does create a tremendous obligation. So first of all, the halacha is that we have to keep it. We can't free ourselves from it. There is an added complication to this. There's a machlokas rishonim. Can you be matir neder? It seems from this Gemara that they say Chacham didn't want to be Matem, that you can't be Matem Neder. And it's a big Machlokes Rishonim. The Shulchan brings both Shitas. Whether or not you could be Matem Neder, a Neder on something that is a positive halachic practice, and which creates an extraordinary difficulty. And obviously it means you should always, before you start doing something, you should say, I'm going to be Neder. What we do, Erev Rosh Hashanah, works for this type of Kabbalah that we say we're doing this Bli Neder and so on. Okay, let's go to some details of this halacha. What type, we mapped out different types. When we say the word practice, it can come from different places. If it is a mistake where you saw your neighbor doing X and you think that that's the halacha, and then you realize, it was a mistake, that everyone holds does not need any atar sandar. It's a toast, and it's a mistake. It's like a neder. If you make a neder on a mistaken premise, it does not need atara and it's fine. Two, if you had a halachic decision, and then you did the sugi again, and you realize, at this point, you feel you made a mistake in Psak. That also would not need any Hatara, because the Maisa, again, the premise was because you felt a certain Halacha was right. You realize now by learning Sugya it's wrong. So two cases that don't need it. If you did it as a gedder for Isser, that's where you have the problem. So a person felt that Shabbosim in his house, it's way too close to the Shkia. From now on, it's going to be a half hour for Shkia. If you didn't say Blineda, or you didn't say Rosh Hashanah and all that, now you have a Machlokas Rishonim, whether you could ever be Mataneda. You certainly need to be Mataneda if you want to change it. The question is, do you need to have Tarsadar? Shulchan brings both. Lemaisa, according to most cheetahs, this type of neder is a rabbanan. So we can already go with it. Kula de kashita. And the Shulchan says the ikka is like the first one that can have it can have hatara, and therefore we are neiter to be matter it. What do we do to Gemara of Nebeshon? We'll see in a second. Finally, if it is a hiddur, not a chumra and a siyag, but a hiddur, like I said, I decide I'll have an oreach every Shabbos at the table, that also seems to clearly be able to be mataneteret. It does not fall under this category. And it's unique. In other words, if I said, you know what, I want to have a guest every Shabbos, you need hataras nedarim, but there won't be a machlokas rishonim on it. So again, on a personal level, any time you have a hanhaga that is a hanhaga for a halachic reason, it assumes the dimension of neder, midrabanan, and so on. But in order to do that, it can't be a mistake in halacha, and it can't be a reconfiguration of halacha. For instance, a rav that came to town and he paskins against something a previous rav had paskined won't need a taras nedarim because it's the same idea. We realize now that Allah is differently. If it is an haga as a gedder for iser, you have a real problem, and they should be certainly careful to do the bli neder. If you did it, you can be mataneder. The psak is alone that way. And if you took on something extra credit, a nagas chasidus that we call, over there, you need a taras nedarim, but there's no issue that taras nedarim won't work for them. That is this getter of neder and so on.
Did you say that the taras nedarim or Rosh Hashanah counts as the bli
neder? No, there's two parts of taras nedarim. There's canceling the nedarim before, and saying, I'm now stating that anything that I do now good in the coming year, I don't accept it as a neder.
And that counts even if you start the practice in Shvat.
Oh, in the coming Shvat, yes, it does. Yes, that's what you're doing. The Gemara says, a person who got up from Rosh Hashanah, that is the reason why we do it. The reason why we do it is not when you pledge, when you tell somebody to do something, it's not because you want to be over, it's because you don't want to get stuck with these type of situations. So those are situations that fall in neder, and we have that problem. There is another area where a yachid in the realm of a tzibur has a problem. And that is two things. So we spoke about a tzibur, two tzibur's. We spoke about a yachid in his private life. What about a yachid in a tzibur? Like you come in Davos Chashanaz in a Sfarad Shul, vice versa, and things of that nature. So there are two guidelines here that are important. One is that Valyeshane Mipnea Machlokis. This is the Mishnah over here in Psachim, and it says Valyeshane Mipnea Machlokis. It's on page 1 on the base. The basis for Lotus Godedu, it's the Rambam says because this is something that brings Machlokis, and therefore a Yachid coming into a tzibur does differently, it inevitably will create issues. And therefore, if everybody is noyeg, in Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh, we will noyeg 40 minutes before Shkia, you stop doing melachot. Lichtman is 40 minutes before. You're American, or not even American, another city, you noyeg 20 minutes, 18 minutes. So you walk in, you drive in at after 40 minutes, you're not allowed to. And this is the Mishnah in Psachim, that if you go from a makom that's makel to a makom that's machme, and this or makom shalonago to makshanago is the right word for it, you are not allowed to do differently than the community you're coming into. The reason for that is, it's machlokas. It's a guaranteed recipe for machlokas. I want to give over parenthetical Rabbeinu Hananel here that I found psychologically fascinating. Rabbeinu Hananel talks about Mela, I come and I'm Mechal Shabbos in this city where they were Mechal Shabbos 40 minutes before. That's a big machlokas. Everybody looks at me and gets very upset, and then we start a whole big fight. What about the opposite? Where I'm Machmir and everybody else is Mekel. And so if nobody notices, not doing Melacha, you can't see. Let's say it's a Chumrah where it's visible. You're wearing tzitzis on a type of beged where the Rav in this town paskind that you do not need tzitzis. Just picking an example. So why can't you do that either? So he says, because people have the following thought process. Oh, he's being machmir. How do you think he looks at us? Like shkatzim. I don't like people looking at me like a shegetz. So even if you're a machmir in a place where people are mekel, it creates a certain enmity, and it falls under this getter. Very fascinating psychology. Al kopanim, so you're not allowed to change those machlokas. That's one area where a yachid cannot change. A second area is, again, I won't see it inside, but Nun Aleph, Amid Aleph, and Tzigmar Chul also. If the people have a minhag iser, and you are coming to be mekel b'fnehem, and they're amaratzim, even if you could, even for the cases where you could be mekel of them, the Taisa speaks about the exact cases, there's a special emphasis, there's a special zehirus, that if the people are maratzim, and they're gonna learn from you to be mezalzel, then you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to be matir in front of amaratzim. Things that will cause them to be mezalzel and other things also. That is, so Lamashal, imagine a person is sitting, any case where a person could learn from you, not that his minig is wrong, but that you can be makel in dinim and so on and so forth, is usher. And that also becomes a halacha. What exactly, who, how, when, but it's something to shtel tzu. I once saw the Dvar Avram had a father-in-law who was the Or Gadol, the Minsk Gadol. He was from the Goyim of the late 1800s. And his Malamed that he took for his kids wrote a biography that actually was published. It predates our era biography, so it's very interesting. And it's a very fascinating sefer. My father's Chayin Evracha was Zocha. His daughter was Kovner Rav's Rebbetzin. And when my father was with them in the ghetto, so she would sit, she wanted the Kovner Rav himself, the Vavron was lived in the ghetto and he was dying, and they had Bachrim, you know, people with him, and she wanted them to be awake, so she would tell them stories about her father and so on. So I have some, but he writes in biography the following. They once came, the Minsk Gadol was a Goyen Olam. They once came and asked him a Shaila about some Gabalistic issue. And he basically said, leave me alone with the nonsense. So he said, afterwards he went over to him and he said, the Rav will excuse me, but I have a Ha'ara on his Anhaga. He said two things. The Rav, he knows Dal Chakshar are cold. But there are actually sfarim that speak about Gabalistic things, the Shara Frayim and so on. There are halachas minhagim that came up that the Rav may not be familiar with. And second, as most important, these people don't know the difference between a Gabar Shaila and a Shaila Chamura in increases. And if you be mevatlet, they'll be mevatl everything. He said, you're right. And he said he bought himself a whole bunch of sfarim, about his yonim. And every time they would ask him a shayla, it could be a narishkeit, he would ponder it and think it through and pass it. Interesting. But al kapanim, you're not allowed to be mekel in front of somebody who doesn't know the difference between who might be nichshan halacha. So we've spoken about tzibur. We've spoken about a yachid personally. We've spoken about a yachid in a tzibur. One more important concept. The word minhag, the concept of a minhag, as let's say a geder or a takon, anything like that. Tosfos in Pesachim over here, again, I'm not going to go through it, but I marked it off, speaks about the significance of minhagim being only when they're based on a chashav atamat chacham. He speaks about two levels of minhagim. Minhagim are absolute mistakes and amaratzis and stuff that crept in that has no shaykhs to minhag. And then he speaks about a chashav minhag that was meyusid al pi gedolim to a minhag that was just hamainam did it. It's not amaratzis, but it doesn't have standing. My wife's uncle, Rabbi Greinemann, should be well, told me once that the Chazan Ish, when people talk about minhagim, it depended which city they were coming from. Like a city where the Rav was Adam Gadol and Tofes Makom, the city, those minhagim had strong standing. Cities that did not have that type of minhag or that level of Talmud Chacham, they did not have that standing of minhagim. So an important criteria is what's called either minik shtus or minik tzat chashav. Tais brings those two criteria in. Another place where the word minik is used, and unfortunately there's a Yerushalmi on it that people have distorted. There's Yerushalmi, will first say, Yerushalmi speaks about, here you see minik is mevatel halacha. And this is bandied around constantly, you know, for any, as an excuse for minig mivat halacha. How come you daven after the zman krishma, the zman tefillah, with everything? That's our minig. Minig mivat halacha, Yerushalmi. Furish Yerushalmi, minig mivat halacha. So let's take a look at the Furish Yerushalmi. And there's two areas. One is, the Mishnah says in many places, hakol k'minig ha-medina. Hakol k'minig ha-medina means, in Chayshim Mishpat, the standard practice trumps any halacha. In other words, let's say the standard practice, until you don't sign a contract, it's not binding. It's possible that even if you make kinyan the rice, it won't work. Again, I'm not going to go in on certain chash mishpat, you'd need a bezin to pass on it, but I'm saying, minig medina, you hire a worker, and do you give him a lunch break or not? You don't look at Chayesh Mishpat first. The first thing is you have to establish, is there a recognized norm, an industry norm, a general working place norm, is the first koveya. And that's important. So yes, minhag v'at halacha in that sense, in Chayesh Mishpat, that a minhag has precedence over anything halacha might say, if there's a minhag that signing a contract binds you, even if you didn't make a kinyan, and that very well might be upon you. Again, in Chayesh Mishpat, you'd have to sit down and with a bezin and work through. But Lamaisa, very, very strong. That is, so when they speak about how can Medina is stronger, that's... There's one more area where the word Minigas Mevatel Halacha is. And this is a Yerushalmi that everybody quotes. And again, it's Amaratzis. It says like this. In Shalmi, there's a shaila in Yevamis about chalitza, whether sandal is good or not. And the Gemara says, even if Eliyahu Navi were to come, and Eliyahu Navi was to tell us lachas like this, they were no longer ready to be choilis, and because the minig is mevatel halacha. There's a mesechta sofrim like that about haftiris, and what to lay and how to lay, and it says the same thing, but the Masech Sofrim adds the end of that. It says, B'tanai, that it's a minhag vasikin. And the assumption is, so let's understand what this means. When the halacha is not 100% clear, and you have a very firm hanhaga by its tzibur, that's based on chashava Tziburim before. In other words, in this community, in Yerushalayim, they've always been doing this and this. Even if halachically you would tend to pass in laws like that because there's overwhelming rise against it, as long as there's some smach, the thing Lashon is there in this, so even a psikta and sfarim kitzayim, which doesn't, sfarim kitzayim means sfarim, they're not bavli. We will go with that minhag because there's an assumption that somebody knew what he was doing. This is very important. This is important in both directions. Whenever a minhag is rooted in Klal Yisrael, based on Chashev Tzibur doing something, and there is some way to reconcile with halacha, then the assumption is that one, that probably there's more to it, and we are not accurate. The Gemara says it, the Gemara says in Brachas, there's a Shaila about what Brach had to make Berna Fashis. The Gemara says, Peik Chazi Me Amadaber. Go out and see what people do. So again, it's a tzibur that's chashev, not a tzibur that's neglectful. When a chashev tzibur is doing something and there's a makvid in halacha, that has strong standing. And that's why a rav who is coming to overturn something that was accepted, not by Kaladas, but by people who are weighty communities who would have said something, he really, really needs to hold back. This, I once told someone, there was a young, a person looking for smicha by us, a young boy, very bright, big Balkishan, and he answered a question on the Yodaya test, which wasn't, I told him, that's not, as he said, but he has a rye against it, this way, that way. I told him, I won't give you a marshal. I said, imagine a doctor's interning. An intern have a handbook, intern's handbook, and he's smart. And he does not like that. I said, he could lose his license. And for the right reasons. Maybe he's very bright. Maybe he's right. But he's absolutely wrong in what he's doing. 20 years later, he's doing research. He can start publishing papers, get peer reviews. People talk about it, and slowly it changes. But you need to always take into account who are you up against. There's a certain chazakah that probably people have thought of what you thought, and there were good reasons. It takes a long time for chashavah batedinim and chashavah psak. There are changes. But those changes come back, we have enough shittas and enough back and forth to say we've done it through and so on and so forth. So this concept of minhag, there's a Rashi somewhere, but minhag adayanim, accepted practice of poskim from dor dor that may look weak on the halachic side, one needs to start with that as your basis rather than the other way around. That's meaning of Atla Halacha. I want to finish with the last chalik over here, which is somewhat of Hashkafik Nikuda over here. And so until now we've discussed minhag in terms, in other words, accepted practice, practical, the way the actual practice of halacha and so on. I want to speak about minhag in things that seem to be Midas Chassidus. In other words, okay, now what about things that are just, that's the way it's done. How much should that be a significant fact in determining what we do? So I want to quote two Gemaras and then a Bnei Yisascha. And then, and with that we'll finish. The Gemara says, I have it down here, it's not in your packet, The Gemara says like this, in two places. The Gemara speaks about what is the. It's a Gemara in Brachas. Reb Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Mishmei Rav said, "Eina mesubim rashoy lechol klum ad sheyitem haboitzea." It's halacha in that the boitzea, the one who cuts the bread, has to be toyim first, then the toyim. Yosef Rav Safra v'kama litoy mitma. I didn't hear that sheyitem, but I didn't hear eina mesubim rashoy lechol elo litoyim klum. Moses says, "Ma'ev kamin, what's the difference?" Moses says, "Shechayev adam loyma b'loshen rabbi." A person, when he quotes a halacha, should quote it the way he heard it exactly. Even though right now I can't think of a difference. One of the most remarkable things about halacha is, the rif is the first sefer psak, he quotes the Gemara. He leaves out the Gemaras that he feels are not lalach, and he quotes Gemaras. The Rambam will quote the Gemara, the Rif in a certain sense, and he's quoting the Rif, unless he feels that without adding something, you're going to make a mistake. He makes it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. He doesn't rephrase it. Again, unless he's arguing. The idea that the Rishonim were ones, Rishonim mean the earlier ones, I don't know what I'm losing the minute I rephrase it. That's one. Two, Gemara in Psachim, Kuf Yudal Mebeis, Mai Shnei Tafshilin, there's a Shaila, what are two Tafshilin used for Ruvi Tafshilin? Omer Vuna, Silka Varuza. Rava have a Mehada Silka Varuza. Silka Varuza is one is some sort of beets and rice. He dafka took them, Hoyel Venofik Mipum Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna had mentioned it, that's why he did it. What's the Indian over here? Why is it like that? What's the pshat over here? So, over here, the pshat is because you never know, even in an ahaga, practical ahaga, you never know what else might be underneath the surface. You might have understood the surface of it. There's an Indian. It's not a halacha, but it's a very, very strong Indian to take the form exactly where you got it, because you don't know what else has been worked out into this form. There's a Gemara in Psachim, the famous Mice with Hillel. He came to Bnei B'Seira, did an halacha, and so on, and then they asked him a shaila. Amle Rebbe, shachav lehevi sakim ev Shabbos mahu. If somebody on the Korban Pesach, they forgot to bring the Erev Pesach Shabbos, they forgot to bring the knife, what do you do? Are you allowed to carry it? Not allowed to carry it. Omelin, they told him, halacha zu shemati v'shachachti. I heard this halacha and I forgot it. Ella, hanachlan Yisrael ein nevim heim b'nei nevim heim. Klal Yisrael, even if they're not prophets, but b'nei nevim heim. In other words, they have a prophetic sense. And the next day, the macha, everybody put the knife into the wool or on the horns of a gedi, and then he said, and in this guy, he said, this is the halacha. In other words, Klal Yisrael's practices, and again, we're talking about a tzibur who are serious, shomer mitzvahs, committed shomer mitzvahs. Overall, Klal Yisrael has a very healthy sense about what's right and what's wrong. And even if we can't determine the halacha cognitively, we can do it through this. I once read a study, fascinating, it was many years ago, I don't remember all the details, but pretty much I think this is the way it goes. They checked people who, lo aleinu, had strokes or other issues, and they had aphasia, they couldn't, speaking things, they had deficiency. And they would ask them questions so they could speak, but they couldn't answer questions. So they asked them things, and the people couldn't answer it. Then they would say, okay, don't tell me anything, but I'm going to show you a picture. Two pictures. With your finger, point two pictures that connect. So they showed a dozen pictures here and a dozen pictures there. So they'd show a funeral, so he would connect with a graveyard. Is this? And what they found was that their ability to communicate that way was much stronger than the ability with words. In other words, the pathway of Maisa has a certain neural structure that is not cognitive or verbal. It's fascinating. Klal Yisrael's Maisim and what they do are things that are baked into the Metzias of Klal Yisrael. Imein Nevim, Nei Nevim Heim. And somehow the instinct, the healthy instinct of a healthy Klal Yisrael is positive. And that's why there is, even for things that are seen to be of no consequence, what does the shul look like? What does the base medrash look like? What do people, how do people dress? And so on and so forth. Even if you can't put a halachic finger on it, but the sense of what is right is in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they need to go with it as a given. Certainly, if there's reason, if there are reasons to change, then you must change. You know, you if somebody comes along and says there was, you know, in the Haim there was no air conditioning. Yeah, in the Haim the average temperature was 40. Here it's 90. It's not something that should become an absurd, but lemaisa, it's something that is in the normative practice of Klal Yisrael at its strength, at its healthiest. It is a get adapt b'nenevim. And that's why saying things like his Rebbe said, doing things exactly like he said, and so on, you always need to use a das of a Talmud Chacham to say what trumps what. We have a very good reason to change, and so halacha will overcome that. But given things as they are, that is very special. I want to finish with Avraham Meir Sascha, who was he said like this. He has a sefer called Derech Pikudecha, where he explains Taima Mitzvahs al Pidakri Chassidisha Derech. So he says on two mitzvahs in Korban Pesach. The first mitzvah is to eat Korban Pesach b'chabura. It means once you nimna on a Korban Pesach, you have to eat it together with that chabura, and you can't go from chabura to chabura. And on the sisru by etzim. So he gives a chassidisha taich, but the yesod of it is astounding. He says there are many activities that are not clearly defined by halacha, and a person needs to use b'chol drachecha de'ehu to take his merais, his what he does, how he does, the flavor of what he does, and bring it to a tavares Hashem. He says there are people who are big people, and again, Chassidus Lashon says his nefesh is called menefashes. They create drachim and mahalchim. Each of these drachim mahalchim is a chabura, and a person needs to find the chabura that's for him, and to be part of that chabura. And that's what the Torah said: Korban Pesach for all Klal Yisrael. But you eat it chabura chabura. These people are medactic, and this type of thing, these people like this type of thing, these people, and this thing, and so on. And then he says, "Leisishbo by etzim," the word etzim meloshen atzmius. He says you can cook the meat how you want, but when it comes to halacha, that's the atzmius of Torah. You can't break any halachas for that. So it's just like it's important to find your own world of minhagim, so too it's important to understand that that's all on top of Torah. It's not coming chas v'shalom instead of Torah. It needs a big person to make that mishkal. But al kapanim, the mashal itself, I think would be an extremely good mashal to bear in mind. The atzamos is the halacha. The skeleton is the halacha, but what fleshes out the skeleton is minhag. So minhag has many halachic ramifications, like we saw. It also is something that embraces all of Torah. And if a person belongs to a tzibur, a person feels his home is with a tzibur that's chashuv, a tzibur that's seriously Eved Hashem, led by people that are royal Oisei Tzilah, then what they do, even if you can't clearly find a sifkaten mishabura, it has standing. It's important, it's chashev, and it's something that should not likely ever be pushed away.
What
about sushi? Okay, now the important question, what about the sushi? So I'll give the practical advice. L'maynaf gemina. So somebody was once sitting with a shatchan, and they were going through the whole, you know, everything, the whole, and he asked them, so tell me, Friday night, do you eat chicken soup or vegetable soup? Chicken soup is old-fashioned, Hamish, kind of baropak. Vegetable soup is modern, out-of-town, kind of, you know, yuppie. It's a dilemma. What are you doing? So he figured, you know, the smartest thing is to go with the truth. He says, you know what? Whatever Tayim Chashabbos brings, that's what we have. So the bottom line is, whatever Tayim Chashabbos will bring, use that, Pesach Hashem. Okay.